I'm going to be reading out of the NIV tonight, so follow along with me. Paula, would you turn that other light on, sis?
Sure.
Good to see Jeff with us tonight. Hadn't seen you in a while, brother. God bless you. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about running a race or keeping the faith, if you will. And as I get into it, you'll better understand what I want to talk about tonight. The success of our Christian life is not measured by how fast we sprint this race from the starting line. The victory is won by when we finish the race. When we run the full course. Every believer in here tonight has a course to run. All of us have a race. We're all in a similar race. We're in the Christian race. But we all have specific courses or paths set out before us by God that we must run. And I want to talk to you about staying in the race tonight, keeping the faith. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, says in the King James, speaks expressly. But in the NIV it says, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Now, before you get too carried away with that thought of it's not necessarily occultic teaching we're talking about here. The Bible says the angel comes as the devil comes as an angel of light. He'll come and he'll dress it up real pretty. So it's not necessarily that it's all going to be this pure deal evil stuff and that it'd be easy to recognize, but it'll be an abandoning, what I want you to focus on, abandoning the faith. People who once ran the race, not running the race anymore. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19, it says, how the mighty have fallen in battle. Too many of our own, and I'm talking about believers, fall, quit running the race, get out of the race, or just give up, if you will. That concerns me. It concerns God, but it concerns me as a pastor. And I want to warn you, but I want to not just warn you, I want to show you how easy it is to get off track. Too many people have fallen from the faith or have quit running in this race that we're in. People who once served God with zeal no longer are even in church today. People who were serving God with their whole heart and was happy and full of joy and no longer are. There are ministers that are no longer ministering today. Now I'm talking about retirement. I'm talking about people who just got sidetracked, people who got out of the race, people who lost sight of their vision, who lost the faith, if you will. And I know a minister in this state. I won't mention his name, but he was called to be a missionary. He was a missionary 20 to 25 years in the Philippines and done some mighty works down there. Had a great church down there. Established a great work for the Lord in an orphanage and all kinds of good stuff. And was there for over 20 years. And God did miraculous things in his life. Came back to America. Went to New Mexico. Pastored a church for a short period of time. And now does not even go to church. You would think a man of God who walked with the Lord that many years, who had experienced the miraculous, who had been used by God to see multitudes get saved. I think in one meeting, in a high school meeting, the first week he was in the Philippines, they had over 1,000 people get saved in one service. He was used by God. And established a great work in the Philippines. But no longer even in church today. Not just out of the ministry. He doesn't even go to church today. Now if it can happen to someone like that, it can happen to any of us. And God wants us to understand that there is a race. And He wants us not just to run this race, run the full race. He wants us to finish strong, crossing the finish line. Here in the... I said it can happen to anybody. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, I'm going to get verse 1, 6, and 12. Look what it says. God is using the Israelites as an example for us. And He says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. Now, verse 6. Now, these things were for our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Look at verse 12. And he goes on to say, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. What is God saying to us in that word there? Saying, well, the Israelites at one time was God's chosen people. God had done miraculous things. He split the Red Sea for Israelites. Their shoes, their clothes didn't wear out. He healed them in the wilderness. He caused water to gush out of a rock. He fed them manna from heaven. They seen the mighty works of God. They seen the greatness of God. They seen miracle after miracle after miracle that God performed. And yet they fell away. And it says in verse 6, they lusted after evil things. So what does that mean to us? Well, it means the same thing that Luke 4:19 says. It says that, I see this all the time, people who start out in God good, and somewhere along the way, they get their eyes off of Jesus and off the focus of the gospel, and they begin to lust after other things. And the Bible says in the parable of the seed and the sower that when we start to lust after evil things, lust after other things, anything other than God that takes God's place is evil. And when we start letting other things come into our lives, it says it chokes the word, or it begins to cause us to get off course. In that parable, it says the lust of other things or the lust of pleasures beyond God begin to choke the word in our lives. God does not want that to happen to us. The Israelites did not get into their promised land. The generation that didn't, the older generation from 40 and down, did not get to go into the promised land because they didn't keep their focus. They didn't finish the race. They wouldn't follow after God. They was obstinate and they kept looking at other things, looking back at what God had brought them out of. So I'm saying tonight, it can happen to them. It can happen to anyone. In the church today, you can see that people who once served God are no longer serving God. People who run the race are no longer running the race. Listen to Ecclesiastes 9:11 said, I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift. The average lifespan of a person is between 70 and 80. Some live longer. You're a witness of how long? How old, sister? 91?
I'll be 92 2 days before Christmas.
Okay. Well, and we have some that's in their 80s here. And these ministers back here in their 70s. But the average lifespan is about 70 to 80 years. About 77 years for a man. And I think a little older for a woman. And it's a long race. It's not, it says it's not to the swift. It's not to, we're in this thing for a marathon. We're not in this thing for just a 100-yard dash. And if you live longer, then it's even a longer race. A lot of people start out, and this I see all the time as a pastor. They come in and they're all excited about the gospel, and I call them sprinters or shooting stars. How many knows what I'm talking about? And they come in and they're all excited and they feel the joy. And I believe they did get the touch of the Holy Spirit, and I believe they did get touched by God and saved. And but then they don't last long. They fizzle. When people come up to me and they say, oh, Pastor, we've been looking for a church like this all our life and blah, blah, blah. We're so happy we found this. God led us here. Da, 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 da. Automatically, a red flag goes up. And I start to say, well, how long will they last? Some don't even make it to the next service. Some a short period of time. And the Bible in the parable of seed and sower says those are on stony ground. They endure for a little while. And then when the sun comes up, it scorches it and they don't make it. But what I'm trying to say is we are not in a sprint. This is a long-distance race, and our goal is to cross the finish line while we're still alive and doing well, and not just cross it, finish strong. I had a friend in high school, and I used to run track. I used to run the 40, 60, and 100, and then I did dabble in running the mile a couple of times. I really didn't like that because it was painful, but I want you to see something here. One time, a friend of mine, me and him, we both ran track, and just to get out of class, we went to a track meet. And they asked him to run the 880. How many knows what that is? 880 yards. He never ran it before. I remember he was flaming red-headed fella, and Jonathan was his name. I can remember watching him take off. He took off, and I mean, he was blazing around the first curve. And I mean, he was leaving everybody behind. And he made it around the first lap, and he had about a quarter of a lap on everybody. About halfway through the second lap, he had got down. He was almost to a jog speed, and everybody else was picking up the pace. By the time he got to the last lap, he was in slow motion. I mean, every muscle in him was rigor mortis was setting in. He couldn't run. He was trying, but there just wasn't any gas left in his tank. And what I'm saying is he did not pace himself. He did not understand the race. He did not pace himself. He didn't have endurance. And he didn't make it. And I mean, one after one, and the poor guy, you could see the agony of defeat on him. He had been leading that whole race, and on the last lap, guys just went by him like he was standing still. And it was embarrassing to him, but poor guy, his muscles just wouldn't do it. He just didn't have it in him to do it. And I remember myself running the mile, and I remember the mile, you get tired. Say, get tired. How many believes that running this Christian race we're in, sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we do get tired. And sometimes we run out of gas. Sometimes we don't know how to pace ourselves, or we don't understand the race, and we're not distance runners. I remember running the mile race, and I can remember, here's my strategy. I would always stay close to the front pack, and then I'd let them do the work. You know what I'm talking about? The leader's always feeling the pressure. And pressure alone just wears you out. And I would stay close to the front pack. And I'd run with them. And I'd get my breathing. You, as your Christian life, you got to get a rhythm down. You got to get a rhythm. You got to live it every day. You got to get your breathing right, so to speak, when you're running. If you're going to run long distance, well, the first thing you got to learn is how to breathe. Otherwise, if you take off and you start your breathing out wrong, start off, you won't make it a block. You'll be out of gas. You'll be gasping for air. Your heart will be racing. You got to learn to set your pace, and you got to learn to get a rhythm. You got to learn how to breathe. In the Christian life, it's the same way. I remember staying with the pack, and then I would go along with them, and I'd run just right there behind two or three of them till we get to the last 100 yards. And then them guys, because they'd been pushing themselves, that's when I would really sprint out and pass people. And then I had plenty of go juice left. In the Christian life, you got to learn to pace yourself. It's a long distance race. You got to learn to run this race and not get tired. How many knows what a second wind is? Even in boxing, Paul likens to, I don't beat the air, just beating out nowhere. I mean, he punched at something when he punched, is what he was saying. He didn't just waste punches. Shadow box. You got to learn to get your second wind. Say that, second wind. Did you know that the devil will try to take the wind out of you?
Oh, yeah,
he does. Huh? If he can't do it, he'll send people by to do it. Come on, church. And sometimes he'll send Christians by to do it.
Amen.
Oh. Sometimes somebody's done got a visit from one of them, praise God. Sometimes well-meaning people will come by, and they're letting the devil use their mouth and say things, do things that just knock the wind right out of yourself. Listen to me. You got to learn to get your second wind. It's a wind of the Holy Spirit. You got to learn to dig down deep in your spirit and pull out the greater one that's on the inside of you. Because you're not going to make it if you don't. You won't last this course. It's a long distance race. You got to learn to pace yourself and get your breathing right. Get your rhythm right with the Lord. Some people, they're up and down with every emotions under the sun. Listen to me very carefully. Emotions are given by God, but they're not to run your life. Ooh, I didn't get an amen on that one. I said emotions are God given, but they're not to run your life. You're to be led by the Spirit of God, not the emotions. God gave you a soul, but you're supposed to bring your soul in subjection to your spirit. Your spirit, man, is the one that's supposed to be in control, which your soul needs to be removed. Not removed. Praise God. Renewed. Some of you need to be maybe removed, but I'm kidding. Renewed. We can't let every emotion that happens to us dictate how well we're going to stay in this race.
That's right.
Because if you are a person that you're temperamental and your emotions seem to get the better of you, guess what? The enemy is going to send somebody to push your buttons.
Yes, yes.
We got to get a rhythm. We got to run this race, and we got to know that it's a long distance race. And what a second wind really is what Christians really need. Is when I used to run the mile, I used to get tired. How many ever get tired in your Christian walk? Physically tired, spiritually tired, weary. You get weary in well doing. I used to get tired, but when I would keep pushing on, say push on. Do you know when you're running? And it's just like any exercise you do. That's why they say no pain, no gain. If you don't push beyond a certain point, you never develop a new level. You have to have endurance. And then when you press in a little harder, then the second wind kicks in. I like to watch boxing. That's one of my favorite sports. Don't ask me why, but I just like it. I used to box both my older brothers and both my younger brothers. And my older brother used to knock me silly on a regular basis. That's probably... I'm punch drunk. That's probably what's wrong with me. But he used to work me over. But I love boxing. I love to watch it. It just does something for me. But in a 12-round fight, used to be 15, now they're 12, you watch the boxers. The first three rounds, they start out strong. The fourth and the fifth round, they begin to fade a little bit. By the sixth round, they're starting to get their second wind again. And then they'll go through the sixth, through the ninth, and then they'll start fading off for the tenth. And halfway through the 11th, out of nowhere, supernatural strength comes and they finish the fight strong. And it looks like the last round, they look like they're just going at it all out. As a Christian, you got to learn endurance. He said the race is not to the swift. In other words, it's not a 100-yard sprint. It is a long-distance race. You want to be here if Jesus tarries when your hair turns as pretty as this couple in the back. When your hair turns like mine. You want to be in this race 50, 60, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years if God calls you. You don't want to run 25 years and then give up. If you fall away along the way, what it means is you didn't learn endurance, you lost focus somewhere, and you didn't get your second wind, and you got distracted. And there's things that the enemy is always trying to distract us with. He's always trying to get us to. That's why it says here in Colossians, it says back earlier, take heed. Now, it's not a sprint, it's a long distance. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. This is Paul speaking. And listen to what Paul said. Paul went through some stuff. I don't know. Some of us, we're pretty, what's the word I'm looking for here to not be crude? We're pretty tender as Christians today. And Paul went through some stuff. Shipwreck, stoned. Said he was in starvation, thrown in prison, spent a great deal of his time in prison. And he had a hard, hard ministry and Christian walk. Jesus even said of him when he sent Ananias to lay hands on him when he got changed from Saul to Paul, he said, go lay hands on him. I'm going to show Paul the things he must suffer for the kingdom's sake, the great things he must suffer. Paul had a hard road. But listen to what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We're talking about keeping the faith tonight. Paul finished his race. I want you to think ahead if God gives you the grace to think ahead to your deathbed. And grant you time on your deathbed to reflect and say, like Paul said, I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. I have run my course. What a joy it would be to echo the same words that Paul echoed. Think about Moses. at 120, still serving God strong. Think about Joshua and Caleb. Caleb really didn't get his win, first win, until he was 85. Serving God on up into the years. You have to purpose in your heart that I'm going to run this race. Hell or high water, I'm staying with God. Because I'm going to tell you, there's many obstacles that are going to come. They're going to try to pull you away from God, the things of God, and all the things God has ordained for your life. Try to get you off course. I heard a preacher talking about this message. He presented it a little different than I am. But he talked about race cars or running a race. And he said the rear end, they have to adjust the chassis. How many knows what a chassis is? They have to adjust the chassis on the rear end. That keeps that driver where he can keep that car under control. And if they get the chassis too loose, it goes all over the place. How many knows what I'm talking about? Just like some Christians. Goes all over the place. And what I meant by loose, what he said was, what he likened it to was people who get too loose or too liberal with the gospel. They believe that Jesus says you can live any old way you want to and it's all right. Jesus never said that.
That's right. Come on, Pastor Ron.
And then he says if you get the chassis too tight, then it pulls you too far to the left and down into the pit area and causes you to go off course that way. Amen. And what that speaks of, what the minister said, and I agree with him, is where we get too strict with the gospel, where we become religious and we become like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and then there's no joy in the Christian walk. Amen. Listen to me. God needs to adjust our chassis once in a while.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm. All of us.
Yes.
To keep us straight. To keep us on course. And if we'll let the Holy Spirit do it, He's up for the job and He wants to do the job. Make up your mind that you're going to finish the race strong. Don't lose sight of the finish line. Long distance runners always finish strong. I've watched the Olympics and stuff. They pace themselves, and when it comes to the last quarter on the race around the track, that's when everybody, the last lap, they start to pick up the pace. When they turn the last corner and they see the finish line, they start to really pick it up. I mean, they turn on the afterburners, and they start running with everything that's in them. And they have the finish line in their sight. And see, we have to keep the finish line in our sight. We don't need to get passive. We got to be determined. Say determined. Do you know you got to be more determined than the devil is determined to get you off course? Because I'm telling you, he's determined. And he works overtime and he works cheap. And he always is trying to throw something out in front of you to get you off course. If he can't trip you up, he wants to get you to get your attention away from what's important. And that's just the way he is. And that's one thing we got to keep our eyes focused on. We don't need to get the passive. We need to stay determined. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, the King James Version says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." That thou fulfill it. Let me tell you something, a few reflections here. Every one of us, he was called, he had a ministry, and Paul was exhorting him to fulfill his ministry, finish the ministry calling that God had on his life. And he told him, he said, take heed, listen to me tonight. Every one of us in here are called of God. Every one of us have a ministry, whether you realize it or not. Ministry speaks of service. And every one of us are called to serve God. How many will agree with that? Not a one of us exempt. All of us are called to service. All of us are called to God. Some have a ministry in a ministry. When I mean God has called you to the office of ministry. But in the church, there's service in every level. There is service and people need to be in those positions. And you need to take heed that you're fulfilling what God has called you to do. What does that mean, take heed? Well, pay attention. Give yourself wholly to it. Focus on your calling, which you have received. Take heed. Did you know, as the pastor, I have to constantly listen to this carefully, because people think that you just fall into this and it just happens. I have to daily, Paul said, I die daily. I have to daily commit my life to Jesus again. Every morning when I wake up, I say, good morning, Jesus. And I have to recommit to that day to serving Him and following after Him. Because if you don't, the devil will make sure you won't. If you don't, you won't. Every day, There's not a day that goes by I don't say, Jesus, today I'm living for you again. And I have to take heed. I have to take heed to the ministry part that God's called me to. It just don't happen. I don't just, these sermons just don't fall out of the sky and hit me in the head. Come on now. I have to take heed. I have to pursue it. I have to not let tiredness divert me and my attention be drawn away from other things. I have to stay focused on what God has called me to do. I have to stay focused on my Christian life. When people are being hateful and mean to me and saying awful things about me and doing things rude to me, I have to bring my flesh under and say, no, you're going to do what the Bible says, walk in love. Are you listening? You have to do it. It don't automatically do it, does it, sister? Somehow we think when we get born again that all our problems go away. They've only just begun.
Yeah, that's right.
But now you've got another enemy, your flesh. Before, your flesh just ran your life. Now you've got flesh to contend with that you've got to bring under control.
That's right.
It don't just happen. Every day we're in the race. And every day we have to take heed to the ministry that we're called to. We have to pursue it. We don't let tiredness divert us. We put away other things and devote our energies to important things. Let me tell you something. When it's all said and done, if you live to be as old as you are, sweetheart, and I hope I do if Jesus tarries, and I look as good as you do, and you folks do, and I have a sweet spirit like y'all do when I get your age, praise God. It don't happen unless you devote your energies to that. And you have to purpose in your heart that you're going to do it. When I ran those long distance races, I will tell you something. There was a lot of my flesh that wanted to quit. Can I be honest with you? There's a lot of times when a ministry's tough, I want to quit. When Paul was talking to Timothy in the book of Ephesians, the church was deserting Timothy because if they confessed to be Christians, Nero was burning them at the stake. And Timothy, a young minister, pastor, was getting cold feet himself. Had a church of 10,000 and they was abandoning ship. And Paul wrote to him and said, endure like a good soldier. Endure. You know what? Today, I'm afraid that we have raised a Christianity or we have bred a Christianity that is weak. I don't know. I mentioned Sunday in the book of Joel. It calls us an army. He told Timothy, endure as a good soldier. Some said, I didn't even know I was in the war. Well, that's your problem. Why would he say in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God if you're not in a war? Why would he say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places? A lot of people don't even have a clue that that's all going on, and they wonder why the devil's whipping their tail. When somebody comes up and they're rude and ugly to you, the first thing you do is you want to get rude and ugly back to them, and you never look at the equation that maybe the devil quickened them to be rude and ugly. And it's not just them, it's motivated by evil spirit. You ever thought of that? Maybe the attack's not just on your flesh and blood, but it's against your spirit. And it's to get you off course. He told Timothy, he says, endure hardness. When I was running those races, there were times where you really struggled to keep going. Your muscles tense up. Your calves start to burn. Your calf muscles begin to burn and hurt. And you have to endure sometimes to finish the race. But there's some things we can do. When he says, take heed, what do we need to take heed to? Hebrews 12:2 said, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher or perfecter of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross. Look what it says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, King James says. Fix your eyes on Jesus, because listen, if you lose focus on Him, you lost focus, period. I'm disappointed that sometimes people come in the church And they don't even realize why they're coming to church. They're coming to church, but they don't even understand why. We're coming to church because we love the Lord Jesus. And we want to know more about Him and we want to grow. And He developed the church and He birthed the church. And He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it. We're coming to church because that's where God ordained us to be, to grow in the grace that He has given us. So we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and not lose focus on Him. Because if you lose focus, you just got out of the race. And listen to me. Here's what it means. How many's ever tried to run with your head turned backwards? Won't be long you'll run into something or somebody or trip. Huh? You got to keep your eyes focused. I'm talking about your spiritual eyes now. And your natural eyes. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. You got to keep focus and keep Jesus as the center of your attention. And when you keep Jesus as the center of your attention, then the things of the world won't pull you off to the side. And then when things happen that are bad in your life, it won't disappoint you and disgust you and depress you and overtake you and get you off course. Because the Bible says Jesus was run the race that was set before Him, the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He kept His eyes on the goal that God had for Him. How many times did the devil try to get Jesus off course? When He used Peter, when He's telling him, I'm going to the cross, and Peter said, never, not You, Lord. And He said, get behind Me, Satan. How many times in the Garden of Gethsemane did the evil one come to Him, and you know that He struggled with finishing His course, and His course was to go to the cross for all of us. And if the enemy was trying to get Jesus, of course, how about the rest of us? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus understood finish lines. He had 30 quiet years and then 3.5 years of finishing strong. Matthew 10:22 says, He that endures to the end, say end, shall be saved. This race is not to the swift. God's not interested in shooting stars. I think last night and tonight, you can see the meteorite showers. We liken them to shooting stars. They come and go quick. God's not interested in us being shooting stars. He wants you here for the long haul. He wants you to say like Paul, I finished my course. And like Jesus. How about John the Baptist? He had about 30 quiet years preparing himself for perhaps 1 year of fruitful ministry unto death. He finished strong. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm getting ready to wind down. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 through 27. It says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Oh, I don't like that, Pastor. Well, I didn't write the Bible either. I don't like that, Pastor. I don't like nothing that says discipline or strict. That sounds hard. Yeah, sometimes it is. Verse 26, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave. You know what the King James Version says? I bring my body under subjection. Did you know there's times when I come up here to preach that I don't feel like preaching? I have to make myself get prepared. I have to make myself have the right attitude. I have to make myself have the joy of the Lord when things are going bad at work and things are going bad in the church and things aren't always rosy in my life. I bring my body under subjection. I don't let it tell me what to do, Paul said. I tell it what to do. Come on, church. I know we don't hear much preaching like this. Everybody's like, I don't like that kind of preaching either. Well, that's Bible. Listen to me. He says in the King James, I bring my body under subjection. Look, he says, I do not run as a man aimlessly. If you run aimlessly, it means you have no goals, no targets. You don't know where you're going. We know where we're going. We don't run aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave. Ooh. That's strong talk. So that after I have preached to others, I myself might not be disqualified for the prize. That's good, isn't it? Strict training. You want me to tell you what that means? We don't necessarily take the path of least resistance. You know what I hear people, and please forgive me. I got to say this. You know me. I say what's on my heart. My alarm didn't go off. You know what I ask them? And I'm always polite. I say, do you ever miss work because of your alarm going off? No. I said, then why do you give God less than that? Come on, church.
Right.
It's time we quit being babies about it and grow up and be men and women of God. We bring our bodies under strict, he says, subjection. My alarm didn't go off. Well, how weak is that? Did you know even if they're telling the truth, when they stand before the Lord, I don't want to be hooked next to them. Now, I realize people get, for different reasons, can't come to church or whatever, but that's a weak excuse. That's saying, I just really want my flesh to have control today. Somebody said the most visited church on Sunday is St. Mattress. You know what I'm talking about? St. Mattress. I have people tell, you know, I would rather them, if they're going to tell me that, just don't tell me anything. Because they don't understand the gospel is something that sometimes we have to strictly train ourselves. We have to not take the path of least resistance. It's easy to cop out. How many knows what that means? It's easy to cop out. To walk along in life or run along in life aimlessly. And that means we have lack of focus or discipline in our lives. Did you know prayer and Bible study just don't happen? If you don't purpose to read your Bible, you won't. Hallelujah. If you don't purpose to read your Bible, you won't. I'm a minister of the gospel, and I'm going to tell you tonight, there are times that I have to strictly tell my body, shut up, put the remote down, turn the TV off, and go read my Bible. The Holy Spirit's prodding me to do it. You say, well, you're a pastor. You know, I do love the Word of God, but I got flesh just like you do. Your spirit man got born again, but your flesh didn't. And that's where we have a problem. And you won't pray unless you purpose to pray. Is that right, brother and sister? If you don't purpose to pray, the life will make sure, forget the devil, life will make sure you never have time. There's always something more important. You won't think of it that way, but it just happens that way. That's just the way it is. That's what you call running aimlessly. Somebody's saying, boy, I'm under heavy conviction. Good. Good. You need to be. Because I'm telling you, the enemy wants you to think that this is all just a fun and games, but I'm telling you, the race you're in determines where you're going to spend eternity, if you finish it or not. That's how serious it is. So, if you don't make up your mind, it requires a conscience choice. Church attendance, serving, they just don't happen. They come by choice. I remember in the early days when I was serving in the church, man, when a pastor finds somebody that serves, he really pours it on them. Because there's few that want to serve. So when he finds somebody that has a heart to serve, I used to help my wife clean the church. I run the soundboard. I ushered. I took up offerings. I caught people in the altar when they would pray for them. I was over the roof project. I trimmed the hedges. I mowed the lawn. And I helped the elderly in any way they needed help. I was busy all the time. Sometimes I was so busy I lapped myself. I was running so hard. But I had a heart to do it. I chose to want to do it. I'm telling you, in this gospel race that you're in, you got to choose to do it. Make your body your slave, not vice versa. Most people are slaves to their flesh. Whatever their flesh dictates, that's what they're going to do. See, that's not living true gospel Christianity. That's not bringing your body under subjection, just letting your flesh control you all the time. I remember when I was running those races, about halfway through the race, and it's not just in my mind. Everybody that's running a race, and it's just like Christianity, they're looking at one another, going, thinking, do you want to quit as bad as I want to quit? Huh? And during that race, there's a psychological game that goes on. You're hurting. You need the endurance. You're making your flesh do stuff it don't want to do. How many knows your flesh don't want to exercise? Get on an exercise program, buddy. It will tell you after the first time when you wake up sore, oh no, you're not doing that to me again. You're not going to do that again. And you got to tell it, shut up and go on, and it's good for you. And do it. You got to bring it in subjection. About halfway through, my body would want to quit, but I would force it to obey and finish the race. The King James says, bring your body into subjection. Why? Because look what he says in here. Lest he be disqualified from the prize. Paul said that. Now this is the great apostle Paul that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. If Paul said that and he felt that way about it, how much more should we feel that way about it? He said, lest I be disqualified, lest I preach to others and I myself be disqualified from the prize. Listen to the apostle Paul's attitude in Acts chapter 20, verse 23 through 24. And this is out of the King James. He said, save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. But none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. In other words, Paul said, I know what's ahead. I know what's waiting on me. But in spite of that, I'm going to do it with joy, and I'm going to finish my course. That's the attitude that will get you to the finish line. None of these things move me. None of these things move me. When things are good, I'm the same. When things are bad, I'm the same. That's called consistency. There's the goal, the finish line. Finish your course with joy. Amen. Let me sum it up for you. Take heed to yourself. Run your course. Finish. Say finish. You could run, if you live to be 100, you could run till you was 99. And then drop out of the race and you didn't finish. Honey, you're not going to do that, are you? You're still running strong.
Oh, yes.
You and these elderly folks back here are a great testimony of keeping endurance, staying in the race. Have you ever got tired?
Oh, it's not easy sometimes.
There you go. But you keep going. You keep going. You take heed to yourself. You run your course. You finish your race. You purpose to please God. Listen to Psalms 92, verse 13, 14. I'm closing with this. Plant yourself in the house of God. They that plant themselves in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. Stay planted in a good local church. Stay focused on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Him. Take heed to your walk or your run, your race, that you don't get off course. And remember, the race is not to the swift, but to the finishers. Sharpen your focus. Maintain strict training. And finally, purpose to please God. Sis, would you come up and play some keyboard for us while I pray for a few folks? Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? I want to open the altar for anyone tonight that needs prayer. If you just need an extra shot in the arm from the Holy Spirit,